Did you load it or did you find it in the... Okay, I believe that a couple of weeks ago, Professor Fox started talking a little bit about the JDBC, which is the Java Database Connection, and showed you some of this talk that I'm going through now. And I didn't bring, I should have brought extras of those slides. I didn't bring extras of those slides. So for this time and the next time, I'm going to be telling more details about JDBC and how to use it here at NPAC. So that if people want to use it for their projects, they may. So the whole point of JDBC is that there is going to be an open standard for an API to use databases from Java. The intent is that you will have the same interface for whatever database you might use so that you don't have to reprogram applications if they're in different databases like Access or Oracle or whatever. They almost all use SQL 2. They're almost all based on Access of SQL 2, so that it's possible to do this standard interface. So the idea is that in this architecture diagram, up the top we have the Java applications, and Java applications can use classes and methods that are defined in what's called the JDBC API. That is the interface for the Java database connection. So those kinds of, we'll look at those methods and classes in a moment. Then there is another set of classes which either implements directly some drivers that translate the Java database API into either SQL or some other language that can access the database directly, or there's different kinds of driver managers that you can have, or it will connect to what's actually called the driver manager, the code that will generate the actual native database calls. So there will be various driver managers for different kinds of databases. Here we have listed JDBC ODBC Bridge. So ODBC, which I've forgotten what the O stands for in ODBC. Object? Or open? Open? I think it's, yeah, okay. Was a different standard for making a generic interface, but it was for C. So the syntax is very C-like, but people have written drivers to go with this C ODBC standard database connection. So one strategy is that you write code which translates JDBC into the C version, into ODBC. That's called the JDBC ODBC bridge, and try saying that 10 times fast in a row. But anyway, so that's one strategy, to build on all the code that was written in C for using ODBC. Other strategies involve using various drivers that are written by proprietary database manufacturers like Oracle and Access and so on, and they are all involved in this activity. They're all working on usually with third-party companies to develop software to make these drivers. So we have some of them here at NPAC, and we'll show you some about how that works. Now, it's been a while since you saw this talk, so let me just review a little bit about the classes and methods that are in the JDBC interface. Essentially, today, I'm going to be doing lots of examples showing how to do the Java programming and talking a little bit about the kinds of architectures that we have here, showing you an example that runs on Osprey 7. And then next time we'll talk more about other database access and what kinds of things are in the future. And we have an example that uses heterogeneous databases, for example. So here is a list of some of the classes and interfaces and exceptions that are in the JDBC API, and it's all in the package java.sql. So when you want to use this stuff, you import java.sql. So in particular, there are things like the driver manager, which has methods that you can pick which driver manager you're going to use, and the driver manager will specify, you know, which database you're going to use. Then you make a connection to the database, and you construct some sort of statement, either a callable statement or a preparable statement. That will either be a select statement or some sort of query or some other kind of SQL statement. Then you can execute those statements. You might get back something from the database. It'll be a result set, and then you can work with that to get to view whatever it is you wanted to get from the database. So I think I've mentioned most of these: the connection, the driver, and databases. When we talked about relational databases, we mentioned that they have metadata, that is data that describes both the database at a higher level than just, well, what are the tables and columns. And there are two ways to get at that in the JDBC. There is a class for database metadata, so for things that affect the database overall. You can also get result set metadata for any result set that you get back, you know, what are the columns and so on. Whoa. I don't think we got the image up here. Right. This? Okay. How come it keeps going back to... not having the image. Whoops, I should have. So here is a list of some more of the classes. Let's talk about some of the more important ones. It shows some of the methods that are available. So for driver, in the class for driver manager, you have a method called getConnection and the method called getDriver. So getDriver finds the driver from the list of all the registered drivers that are available to you if you have more than one type of database available. Mm-hmm. And the connection then, once you've gotten the driver to a particular database, establishes the connection for a particular user. So getDriver picks the type of database, and getConnection starts a transaction, starts a session for a particular user. This public class types, notice that it has listed here all of the valid SQL types so that you can deal with those in Java. So those will be the types of all the possible types for all the columns and the tables that you can look at. Now there are two types of statements. There are callable statements and there are, whoops, I've forgotten what the other ones are. We'll get there in a minute. And the difference is basically one can be stored procedures essentially where you can deal with the I/O but not have to reprogram them. Here are the methods for connections. One of them is create statement, and another interesting one is get metadata, which returns database metadata for the overall database. here's result set. So what you get back from a query or some other SQL statement that you execute is something of type result set. There's a method that's not in here, which is next. A result set might have more than one line. When you make a query on a database, you might have more than one row that match the query. So you always have the possibility that the result set will have multiple entries. So there's a next statement which sequences through the entries which I return so that you can handle them one at a time. For each entry, for each column in the entry, you can convert the value of the column that's returned from the database to a type that Java can deal with. So there are various methods of the form get and some type, any Java type. So there's get string, get int, the various Java types for converting data that you get out of the database. And get metadata, of course, can be used to figure out what the types might be of the columns. So the typical thing that you do is that you get a driver from the driver manager class, then you make a connection for that particular user, you create the statement, then you execute query, then you, what you get back is a result set, then you use next to sequence through the result set to work with the data that you got back. Now the driver managers would have a set of installed drivers, and they have a syntax that's like JDBC colon, and then a sub-protocol, and then colon, another name. So these are the syntax for the kinds of drivers that you can use, and we'll show some of those in a minute. This slide is about types of drivers. I'm going to talk more about that later. And a list of vendors that have that are working on drivers. I'm going to show you a page that Tom Pulakow made and I've written the URL here on the board. It's on Osprey 7 at port 8110/cps616.html. So he has made a page. This is it. And it has links to some of these companies so that you can go and read about the software they provide. So here's Intersolve's page and WebLogic and various things about the JDBC, ODBC bridge, and Java web server and servlet stuff, which we're going to look at. So here's a list of what's called practical options at NPAC. So a lot of those links are companies like Intersolve and WebLogic and Imaginary isn't on there, but it's one of them. Little companies that have software that you can download and try out. And a lot of graduate students have done, working with Wojtek Kremenski, have done that. And here's some of the things that work. So from Imaginary, we have a driver for a kind of database called MSQL. So this is a particular database product, and this driver only, I think, only works with that one. Then from WebLogic, we have a driver that we're using with Oracle, and I think we also now have it working with Access on a PC, but WebLogic is a company that's working with several different companies, Oracle, Sybase. They also do Access. They're working with Microsoft. And providing also a couple of different kinds of architectures, and so I'm going to show you one of those tonight. So we also have up a version of the JDBC-ODBC bridge from Intersolve, and I don't have a working example of that, but there are to show you tonight, but I'm going to show you a little bit of some snippets of code, and we do have it in case you're interested in pursuing that. So in these notes, so in incredibly small type font, and you all probably didn't bring your notes. What? Oh, the text version, yes. Would be better in this case. I always like the pretty colors, but I guess I can't have everything. So this is good. And so these next three examples are showing examples that people have done using these three different kinds of drivers. And I'm going to, the code that's given here is not complete code or complete applications. It's mostly for showing what kind of methods are being used. So I'm just going to sort of skip through this, sort of ignoring what the code does, because in most cases it's not complete code, and to show you the use of these various methods. Then we're going to go to an example that's a complete example that shows how to query, make a query on the database. So this first one is the one that uses the MSQL driver from Imaginary. Notice that you do have to import not only Java SQL, but Imaginary.SQL. And here is, so the drivers have code which is specific for, or they can, the classes can have code that's specific for specific drivers. So it has to be actually loaded. So here is a method, class.forName. There's a couple of different syntaxes for this. This is one of them, the result of which is that you load the classes for this driver into your, along with your Java application or applet. So the result of this is that you have a driver available. The next thing that you do is use the getConnection method in the driver manager to actually start the session with the database driver that you just loaded. So you give it the URL of where the driver is accepting requests. You give it a user ID and you give it a password. So all these databases have put in kind of a default user and password of Scott and Tiger so that you can try these out. And there'll be some tables there for this sort of standard user. So here's the method that does the create statement. So for each connection, you just call create statement. So this isn't for a particular statement. This is like a template for a statement or a shell for a statement. It creates the space where the statement is going to be. Then you can put into, given that you have this statement created, STMT, there is a method called execute query where you can give particular statements like select, update, and so on, normal SQL statements that you want to have executed on the database. So essentially, create statement is doing a data structure of some sort, and execute query is giving the specific statements that you want to execute. So here's one that selects star from the name of some test table, order by ID. So that's an example of a select statement. It returns a result, and so it's assigned in this code to the result set called RS. Now there's some code that looks at the results, and so one of the method that I talked about on the results set is called by saying rs.next. And so the first time you call rs.next, it actually gets the first one. You call it before you have any. And as long as there are rows from the database returned in the results set, rs.next will have data and it will not be null. And this test will be true. But when the rows run out, or if no rows were returned, this will be, I'm sorry, not null, will be false. This is Java. And this loop will terminate. So after you've done next, then there are a set of methods and variables which are initialized for the result set RS, and you can call getInt is one of the methods. You can call get for various types, and you give the number of the column that you want to get the value of in that particular row. So this takes the value in the first row and gets it as a Java integer. Now, presumably in the database, this row had type. The SQL types are things like number and varchar. Remember those? You guys did the database stuff, right? So presumably this was a number, and so that's why we can turn it into an integer in Java. And I'm not really sure just what all type conversions are possible here. I know, for example, that if you have a number field in the database, it's possible to do get string, and you just get it as a Java string converted, you know, as the digits in order. So there are some conversions possible here. So so this next one is get string for column 2. So we have, so we assume that there were two columns in this table, and we got the values in that particular row, and here's some code to print it out. I'm not going to go through all the details. So we're ready for the next slide. So you close the statement, you close the connection. And the next example is using a driver from WebLogic. And one of the things that you'll see, of course, is that essentially the code is the same because this is JDBC and it's supposed to be standard for the different databases. What is different is that at the beginning here, we load a different driver. So this is weblogic.jdbc.oci.driver. So we load those classes, and we connect to that database. This particular one is connecting to the WebLogic driver, to the Oracle server, and connecting to a database that's actually on Kayak. And Scott and Tiger are the standard name and password. Create statement, and so in addition to execute query, there's just execute is one of the methods that you can do. This happens to be a query. That's okay. It's a more general method. But it doesn't return the result set directly. You have to say get result set to get it. Then you can use next and go through getting data from the database. But what this example shows, new methods, is that from the result set, you can say rs.getMetadata and get information about the results that were returned. So this is assuming that, so the previous example assumed that you knew what was in each column because you were connecting to a particular, you're writing the code to connect to a particular database. This example is going to be more generic. It assumes that you're writing the code to connect to one of several databases and you want to get out what columns there are. So you can write the code using get metadata to find out what the columns are. So here's one. So this returns something of type result metadata. We call it RSMD. So one of the things you can do is use a method that's get column count to find out how many columns there were. And on the next page, we have a loop over the columns, and for each column, we get column name to find out what the name of that column was, and various other information about that column. So is it nullable, precision, scale, display the size, etc. So this is displaying all the information about each column. So this is the third of these partial examples, and it is using the JDBC-ODBC bridge. But it looks like I skipped a page. Yes, there we go. Here's some variables. So here's the standard class.4 name, which loads, in this case, the JDBC ODBC driver from Sun. The next coil with some user and some password. This is more of a sketch of the data. This shows how to use, once you've made the connection, then here's the code for the connection. Sorry, I skipped that. But it's the get connection. And the connection is called con. So on the connection, you can use a method called get metadata, which is going to get data about the user and the tables that are available for that user. So that's what's available for this particular connection. So this is called DMA. So you can get the URL of that. You can get the driver name. You can get the driver version. So this is general data at the overall level. Then here's some code that does this standard thing, create statement, execute the query. The query was up above in the code. It was a select statement. And it assumes that you call a function to display the result set. There's no particular different code for that. Now, one thing this example shows is that it has a more general printout of error information. So all of these calls to the database were in try statements because they could have runtime errors. So I think you're used to that from Java. And this particular one shows a sort of a generic form of catching some SQL exception. So this, you can get information, the exception that's returned to you, you can get information. So there's a method that you can use on the exception called getSQLState. There's one that gets the message. There's one that gets the error code. If there's more than one exception, then you have to loop through and get the next exception so that you can print those out. This is if you wanted to give information to the user about what exceptions were generated. And if you don't print those out in practice for debugging purposes, of course, it comes out on the Java console. All right. So that's really the end of this sort of set of generic examples. So the next thing I wanted to do was go to the other talk. Do you think I can do that? Up level. Do you know where it is? So this is the one called Advanced JDBC. You didn't. Well, I'll tell you what I really need, because I don't need much from that talk. So let's not go to that talk. I can use the Macintosh to look at the code, and what I really need to show the applet to work is a version of Netscape which is running from Osprey 7. Can we do that and have the output directed here? Can we log into Osprey 7 and bring up a navigator that... No. Okay, thanks. So while he's doing that, let's go look at so this is the example that's on the small sheet that I handed out today, and this is an example written by Sangeeta Agarwal, which is it uses the WebLogic database driver, and it uses what's called a two-tier architecture. So I skipped over some of the architecture talks, and the difference between the two architectures, sometimes called two-tier and three-tier, depends on whether the Java API, the JDBC API, is implemented directly to a driver manager or not. So in the two-tier architecture, it is. So in the two-tier architecture, we have a browser. Well, let's say we have a Java applet or an application here. That's using JDBC, and this JDBC in the two-tier scheme, in the case of WebLogic, is implemented by a set of classes which are loaded and have native code which is going to connect to the database manager, to the database server. So in this case, we're using Oracle. So over here is, this is usually written as a little cylinder, what's sometimes called the Oracle server. And it actually connects to the real database. So when you're just running Oracle on Osprey 7, you can just log into Osprey 7 and you can type SQL Plus. And SQL Plus is a program that knows how to type commands to the Oracle server directly, right? And you also did the business about using CGI scripts to do not directly. So the two-tier thing, the only problem is that since this is native code, most of the manufacturers don't want to have the native code that accesses their database implemented on arbitrary browsers all over the world. Because they don't want to have to do that, have to write proprietary code that's going to run on an arbitrary place. So the two-tier, so what we have running right now in this particular application runs under either Applet Viewer or Netscape, but it requires you to actually be running Netscape or the Applet Viewer on Osprey 7 for this to work. So that's why I asked Mehmet to bring it up on Osprey 7. And it will make this. Then later we'll show an example of a three-tier architecture. And this is the more general case. And what it does is enable the Java applet to go on arbitrary clients by putting some other server here on the same machine that has the native code. That's the so-called middle level, or the so-called middleware. So what you have is, so this is a Java applet, in our case on Osprey 7, has to be, and the Oracle server is on Osprey 7. So there may be solutions in which this doesn't have to be on the same machine, but it's up to the proprietary code. In particular, actually, you can run databases using this two-tier scheme on Kayak as well, but that's because our Oracle server uses something called SQLNet, a network type thing, so so that it can access databases both on Osprey 7 and on a machine called Kayak. But that networking is all taken care of by Oracle in a proprietary way. All right? And this is also proprietary code connection. And what we want is a scheme where this is not a proprietary code connection, this is an arbitrary network connection that can run anywhere. So that's, let's indicate that like this, network connection. So here we have Java Applet running JDBC. This is the three-tier. And the example I'm going to show you uses for the middle level, for this protocol, it's going to use HTTP network protocol. How more open can you get? And what it's going to use over here for the middleware is a particular web server, which is now being called Java Web Server, but was formerly called Jeeves. So this was a web server under development at Sun that was written in Java. And it has the particular feature that since this is written in Java, you can write code for that this web server can run similarly to how you can write CGI code for a regular web server. You can write essentially CGI code in Java, and the web server can run it. And those are called servlets. So the analogy is it takes the little Java programs that take the place of little CGI codes. So you can have a Java applet that makes a request to this web server to run one of these programs residing on the web server. So since these programs are run, so the difference is that normally a Java applet, if it's going to run Java code, it's compiled, it's generic, it's downloaded. Java servlets can have native code. They can do, they're run on the server. So that's what you can use to do native code connections to a database. So that's what can connect directly to Oracle. So in this case, you have, the servlets. The Java web server is running on the same machine as the Oracle database server, and the servlets are taking care of the proprietary code connection to the database. And the requests for database access for JDBC come over the HTTP mechanism into these servlets. So the three-tier mechanism is how you can implement JDBC on arbitrary browsers without having to get the manufacturers to release proprietary database access information to be run on arbitrary machines in the world. Yes? That's not the one. So I actually want that other page, Tom's page. It's on there, one of the places. CPS616.html. I could show the code first, but that's okay. Okay. Whoops, as they say. Well, it doesn't look like anything. Let's see if it still works. Is it still working? What? Yes, is there a question? Well, it's using JDBC calls. But the code that's actually directly accessing the database is essentially loaded like any other class along with your Java program. It's just a set of classes that can have native code and make direct calls to the database. I'm sorry? This server here? No, this is the proprietary, I mean, this is what you get when you, like, buy Oracle. This is the Oracle database product. Actually, it's kind of a misnomer to call it a server, so let me erase that, because it can be a client to database on another. Anyway, think of this as the Oracle database product that accesses databases, whether they're on the same machine or not. Okay, does that help? So it's not like a web server. Okay. Now let me try not to trip over any more equipment. And go to this page and show you this. Okay, so this is called the two-tier applet example. And it's a nice, complete example for a first database example. It takes a very simple database and performs a search. So actually, I need to put some documentation on here. So you have to enter a name to search, and this I put in this database so I know what names there are. Let's see, which keyboard should I type on? We'll put in Sangeeta, since this is really her code. And we clicked on search, and the search is going to make a query to the database, and presto. And you ran this off of Osprey 7, right? Oh, Osprey 7 is down. Oh, this doesn't work unless you're logged into Osprey 7. All right. What? Is there a problem with connecting with Osprey 7 right now? All right. Well, meanwhile, let's go look at the code. Things never work right. So there's two classes here of interest, or two Java, and you can go look at this. This is in my directory on Osprey 7. So actually this directory is like, it's in /servers/cgi-http-class, right, only instead of, you have cps616-docs, or cps616-spring97-docs, I have users docs. And I made so NJM, a directory called JDBC, and in here are the two Java codes. So the client.java is the one which actually is controlling the applet window, and I guess we should start with it. So the public class client extends the applet, and so this is what I made copies of for you in the small handout that's up on the front table. So it's the applet that we just saw, which unfortunately didn't work. But the applet is, actually this is nice code for an applet too. I know some of you have been doing some Java code. It has three areas on the panel. The top one is the header. And then there's this panel where the search this is called display panel, and then down here where the buttons are called control panel. So we go back to the code. So we add those into the applet, and so these are all classes that we have made to show things. So let's skip down to some of those classes. So header panel is pretty simple. You just put up the label. Control panel is more interesting because it has these buttons. You type in the text, and then there's a button called search and a button called clear. So here's the action method that says what's going to happen when you click on the button. So the search button is going to call the method in the parent, which I didn't show you. We set the parent to be the parent applet of the name of the text field is called name, and so you say get text, and that's what the user types in, and you give it to this search function. Notice that the clear button, what it does is in the text field, it sets the text to be empty. So let's go back up to the parent and see what the search function does. Here it is. The search function creates a new object that's an instance of a class called MyDatabase. And MyDatabase is a class that's in that other file, MyDatabase.java. And so we have to go to the other file to look at it. It creates three string buffers. Notice that the methods that it's calling, so the instance of MyDatabase is called database. It's calling method open. Well, first of all, of course, MyDatabase, this is a constructor, so there'll be some initialization there. It's calling open, it's calling find, and where the first argument to find is the string that you're searching for. And then the string buffers are going to get back information. So let's go now and look at the other Java class. Before we do that, I think at the very end of all your stuff, is the actual database. And it is really simple. It has three fields, and the first field is a name field, and the second field is an age field, it has some number, and the third field is occupation. So I just put in some people's names, my kids, everybody working on the course, and of course I followed the Jack Benny principle that nobody's allowed to be over the age of 39. So I just did the standard stuff that you all learned to do with Oracle I did create table, and it's all there if you're interested in looking at it. But you've all done all that already, right? So this is the class. Where's the constructor? I'm not sure why there's not a constructor. So this method called open actually does all the initialization. I'll have to go look at this. And this method uses a different way of establishing the connection. There's actually three different ways of establishing the connections, and we saw the one before where you just call get connection directly. Here, instead of calling get connection, you call a method called connect, and you give it the database, the driver for the database product that you're using, and something called properties, or in this case, props. And properties, you create a an object that's of type properties, and you put you associate with various keywords various values. So this is essentially like an association list, a property list. I mean, it's like property lists in the language Lisp, which are in fact association lists. So this is where you put how to connect. So I put my username and my password, now that you all know that I didn't change my password like I was supposed to. You can all go and destroy my databases, but please don't. And I'm going to be, here is where you put what server you want to tell Oracle that you want to use. And it's installed, the WebLogic driver is installed so that the default is Osprey 7. So I didn't have to put anything here. In Sangeeta's original example, if you, are any of you connected to, with Kayak? If any of you had an old account and you can get at Kayak, I know you do, you would put Kayak here because you wanted to connect there. But if you want to connect to Osprey 7, you're supposed to leave this blank. Now there's a slightly different syntax for loading the drivers that it's okay to use. The class.forName is going to load this set of code, classes with possibly native code, and return specifically a driver D. We also do this thing about setting the log stream to the driver manager. This shows another method. And then finally, we make the connection. So the next method is the one called find. And you give it the string that you want to find, and these three string buffers in which it's going to put information. And the reason that there are three string buffers is going to put the information from the various columns. So again, there's a different way to do this. This is typical of Java that there's several ways to do it. This is a prepared statement instead of a, what's the other kind? I can never remember the two kinds of statements, what they're called. It begins with a C. Anyway, this is how you construct a statement, which is a prepared statement. So here we put select star, which is all columns, from my database, which is called person table. And then we show how I'm making this into essentially a little subroutine which can accept parameters. And the way that I indicate where the parameters are supposed to go is I put these question marks. So I can put more than one question mark, as when you call this, you're supposed to put something in there. So this is a select statement that I'm allowed to put in what name I'm going to search for by using this question mark mechanism. And this is a so-called prepared statement because this is supposed to be the text of a little subroutine, a little function. So then the way that I fill in what I want to do there is that I, on the prepared statement, I have a method called setString, and the question marks, this is a little kludgy in my opinion, but the question marks occur in some order, and you just figure that they're numbered in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I only have one, so when I want to give the which the value of a variable that I want it to put in there for the first question mark as a parameter, I say set string 1 to be whatever I want to put in. And in this case, it's word. That's the string that was sent into this function to search for. All right, so here's where the user can submit a specific string. You write this generic select statement which takes a string and puts it in for the question mark. Now you can do this method called execute query. It's like the execute that you do on the those other kind of statements. I can never remember what it's called. And execute query does also return a result set. And the result set works the same way as in the other kinds of statements. We just say result set.next, and we append to the string buffer what we get when we for the fields that were returned as part of the result set. So in this case, if you look at the definition of the database that I did, name and occupation were varchars, and age was a number. So I could have done get int on age, but I actually just want to print them out, so it's easier to do get string. So I'm converting all of those three fields to strings, to Java strings. And I append them to the three string buffers, and then I close that. Okay, so that's the, so this class is nicely structured to isolate essentially all the database ideas. All the specific data JDBC functions are used here. So then we go back to the client, and where we called the find method in the database, we gave it the string to search for, and we gave it the three string buffers. So now that we can use those, convert the string buffers to a string so that we can print them out. So where's the method called getData? Here's getData, and getData just tests to see if there's data there. If it's blank, then it's going to show an error. Otherwise, it calls showData. And showData, there's a class called personalData, which is going to show those three fields. So this is a little cumbersome, but it gets the result. PersonalData is down at the bottom. And essentially, what's going to happen is that the display panel is going to either show errors or show the data. Here's the paint method, which puts in the name and age fields and uses that personal data to put out the actual name, age, and occupation. Okay, here's class personal data down here. Okay, so unfortunately this example isn't working, but you can go and try it. But when you try it, either just go to cd to my directory and run applet viewer, you know, log into Osprey 7, cd to my directory and run applet viewer, or run Netscape, start Netscape from Osprey 7. And that should work. That's what we weren't able to do right now. Did I see a question? Is there a question? That's right. Well, you can't use this particular solution. Now, WebLogic does have some three-tier solutions, and I don't believe we have any of them running on Osprey 7 right now for the Osprey 7 database. We have one of those running with Access on the PC. We're trying to sort through all these different things of software and where they run. But what we do have, so I couldn't find a good three-tier solution, a good general solution that we have running right now that all of you could get access to. Because it's not really practical for you all to be able to go to the PC lab and run the WebLogic three-tier driver there with Access. We are going next time to talk some about Access and how all that works. So I do have a three-tier solution to show you. And I'm running out of time. We got started late again. I was hoping to get through both of these examples. And this is one written by Tom, is it Pulikow? Is that how you pronounce his name? I should have asked Tom. And it uses this three-tier solution with the Java web server that uses the servlets. And this is a general solution that works, but in order for you to do this, you would have had to understand how to install a servlet on a Java web server, or else get down your own Java web server. And that seems like a big thing to ask you to do. So if you want to use this in a project, I think the simplest thing is to do it just on Osprey 7. I know it's not much fun to write a JDBC thing that only runs on Osprey 7, but I think it's the simplest thing to do. So this is actually taken from code from Java Web Server tutorial, and you just put in, let's see, I forget what databases Scott has. Oh, wrong keyboard. Can I tab here? Oh, yes. So let's do a nice query like select star from, isn't it all under bar tables? Where are the SQL experts? SQL experts. So that should go and find out all the databases that Scott has. Well, there are a lot of them. Okay, so this is working even though, because we can run this from Netscape anywhere. I didn't try mine. There it is. So I selected all the columns from that table I made, and there it is. So this is a program that, for any database, it does a more generic thing. This is probably really the way you want to do database programming, is to get a set of these generic classes which can go to a table and figure out what the columns are and return results for you, instead of writing an application that's specific for each table. So this is a nice example to work with. And I guess I'll have to go over more details about the code next time, because it's kind of late to start that. So I'll do that. And meanwhile, if you're interested in looking at the code, it's here on Tom's webpage, the source. And we'll just go over that next time so you can see a generic example, and then we'll go ahead and do the other issues about the kinds of things that can be done in the future. So this technology is still evolving. It's just now being made possible to do these kinds of examples. So. Another bad technology day. I should take off the microphone.
What is just getting out when you log in?
Huh?
I am logging in. They can log in to a space bar. But it was maybe just
out. Oh, so there's some problem with that. Okay. It was working from upstairs, but that's not to say that there's not some. They don't shut down.